Colossians chapter 2 tonight, if you will. I don't think I'd mentioned that, right? Colossians chapter 2. I'm a little bit concerned tonight, seeing Brother Smart back there behind Brother Mudd and Brother Charles. I don't know if he's back there to keep them in line or to goad them on, okay? So I don't know for sure which it is. All right, okay. Say, I think I'm going to try to find me some orange shoes like Brother Mudd has. I'd be good. We had a fellow came to church, it's been several months ago now, and he had on a pair. His shoes were bright red. And I thought, man, yeah, I wear them. Nobody'd go sleep during church. I mean, that's for sure. All right, you're there in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, when you read your Bible, you just need to constantly remind yourself there is nothing outdated about the Word of God. Some people say, well, man, that old book, it is old, but it's not outdated. Most ever book that you get, if it's outdated, if it's very old, pretty much outdated. I have found if you take old books to the half-price books and sell them, it probably costs you more to drive out there with them than they'll give you for them because they're old, all right? Now, and they look at that and they think it's outdated. And probably if it's a science textbook or something like that, yeah, it's a little bit outdated, all right? But I tell you, the good thing about the Bible, it's not outdated, never has been. Hey, what was a blessing and a help to the folks in Colossae nearly 2,000 years ago is still needed today by local, independent, New Testament churches, all right? We still need it. It's just as necessary. What he's written here is just as necessary. It's just as timely today for us as it was for them. And the reason is we face the same problems. We face the same temptations today that they faced, all right? Same kind of thing. Now, it might be dressed a little different, okay? When I say dress a little different, I'm not talking about, you know, exactly that. But it'll look a little different, maybe. May come across just a little bit different. But truthfully, in reality, it's the same trouble. It's the same testing that Satan continues to use and to send the believer's way. And Paul, under the inspiration of God, God used him to warn, to admonish these folks about what was possible and what could happen to them. And we still need to heed that same warning tonight, all right? We still need to take the same assurance that he gave them. Good for us, all right? It's good for us. I just want to look at it a little bit. Notice there in verse 1, he used that word conflict. Paul said, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you. He's talking about here, he's talking about the great concern that he had. He had a great concern for the needs of believers. Even though I don't believe the Apostle Paul started this church here, and he even talks about here, said some of them in verse 1, he said the folks there and at Laodicea said, you haven't seen my face, but it didn't mean he didn't care about them. He cared about the status and the condition of local churches and local believers. And he said the fact that we haven't met face-to-face doesn't change anything at all, you know. He was concerned for the work of God. And man, we ought to be concerned for the work of God, wherever that work's found. We pray for other people. We pray for other churches. We pray for other workers. Right now, Brother Jackson is in Ukraine, all right, ministering over there to soldiers and those that are fighting. He's there. We need to be concerned about them, all right? We need to be concerned about the believers in Belize. We need to be concerned about the believers in Germany. And we talk about the missionaries we support and the churches they've established. We met last night with Mrs. Wesson. Mrs. Wesson from Dominican. They had just come in late yesterday. They had come to the service over at Trinity, and we talked to them just a little bit. And we talk about being concerned about their work. But can I say this to you? I hope our concern is not just for people we know and just for people we support. Boy, we ought to have a concern for the work of God. I am so glad, and God, that he was glad God had used him to speak to them. I'm glad God used him to speak to them. I'm glad God used him and had him write these letters, and I'm glad God preserved them, and he still speaks to us through what Paul wrote. He was concerned. And we ought to appreciate that concern. But notice in verse 2, there's a word there, that their hearts might be comforted. Comforted. Hey, he was concerned, and one of those things he was concerned was they'd be comforted. Why? Because they lived in a day like ours. You say, well, what do you mean? It was a day of confusion. It was a day of apostasy. Hey, in a day of confusion. Now I'm talking about spiritual confusion, all right? Spiritual confusion. Look, a lot of what goes on in our country today involves spiritual things. You know, we can talk about the whole gender identity confusion. Well, I just want to tell you that has spiritual implications. That has a spiritual origin, all right? And we live in a day of spiritual confusion. We live in a day of apostasy. They did in that day too. Now their problem, now they were smart enough. I mean, now they hadn't got all the college training that so many people have today, but they still knew there was only two genders. They were way ahead of a lot of people today, all right? And they weren't confused about what gender people were, but there was spiritual confusion, all right? And he said, I want you to be comforted. And in a day of spiritual confusion, comfort, you say, where does it come? I believe with all my heart it comes from a full understanding that is to be found in Christ Jesus. Full understanding. Now, you say, man, the world's confused. They are, but we don't have to be. We don't need to be. Say, why? We've got comfort. Why? Because we understand and we have knowledge about our Lord and Savior. Notice he put it this way in verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now, not just love that's a mushy kind of thing, but a scriptural, biblical love for our Lord and Savior, and a love for one another, and a love for the truth, all right? A love for the truth. He goes on and he talks about the riches of the full assurance of understanding. And he said, you understand some things. Where does that come from? Hey, that comes from the Word of God. A love for truth binds us together. Love for truth binds us together. We're here tonight because we want to hear a little bit about the Word of God. We want to hear something from God. We're bound together by the truth of this book, all right? That's what binds us together. We're not like the crowd that's new evangelical type stuff, maybe is the word for it, the charismatic crowd that just talks about love sort of in general, and all they want to talk about is love, but not, you know, doctrine. Now, wait a minute. Our hearts are knit together in the truth of the doctrine of the Word of God that helps us love each other because we know the truth. We've got the truth. We're not doubting it. We got it, okay? We're hanging on to that truth, all right? And he goes on, and notice what he says there in verse 3, talking about our God and our Savior, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of the truth is found in the wisdom and the knowledge of our Lord. Oh, you talk about treasure. Hey, the world knows a lot of facts. The world knows a lot of facts. And the world pushes us to act on what it knows. Now, sometimes, who was it? I think it was President Reagan that said, and he said, it's not that you don't know anything. I'm not going to quote it just right. He said, but so much of what you know is not true, all right? And that's true in our day. There's a lot of so-called facts that they say they know, but those facts are not true. Hey, and they want us to act on that. I'm going to say this, there's no comfort there. There is no comfort to be found there. To us, to you and I that are saved, you and I who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, there is comfort, first of all, just knowing He's in control. He's in control. We look around, we see the confusion in the world, and we'd be worried. Except I know the Lord's in control. I know nothing's going to happen that He doesn't allow to happen. He's in control of it, all right? What a comfort there is. Hey, there is a comfort in the assurance of our salvation. The assurance of our salvation. I'll never forget talking to Brother Don Fannin. Brother Don Fannin was a member of our church for a good while, and this years ago, and they moved to Missouri, and he's since passed away. But while he was here, he had a heart transplant. And I remember going by to see him, and he said, he's telling me, he said, man, I'm sitting around the house. There's nothing to do but watch TV. He said, that's the worst thing in the world to do, you know. He said, I was watching it, and he said there was this Catholic priest that was on this TV show, and they were interviewing him and talking to him, and he had terminal inoperable cancer. And he said, Brother Martin didn't understand. I was watching him. He was just crying and crying and crying. And I said, Brother Fannin, the problem is he doesn't have the assurance. You do. Doesn't have the assurance you do. Hey, we've got an assurance that we've got a Savior that saved our soul. He's forgiven our sin. And there is a comfort that we have in knowing that no matter what happens, no matter what may happen to me, there is a much better future coming. All right? It's going to get better one way or the other. All right? Not worried. If we go out in the rapture, if we go out the direction of the cemetery, all right? Now, they may cart my body or your body out to the cemetery, but they're not carting me out there, all right? Because I'm moving out before they do that, all right? I'm moving out. But we've got that assurance. We've got that assurance because we know the truth of the Word of God. We've got that. We know there's a better day coming. We know that better day coming is not going to be brought to us by politicians that are acting in the wisdom of man. They can't do it. Will not happen. Matter of fact, if they'll keep doing it in the wisdom of man, just the opposite is true. But boy, what a comfort there is in the truth of the Word of God. And Paul's writing to these folks here, and he's reminding them of that, okay? Don't you forget that. But we get to verse 4, and he throws up a yellow light, a yellow flag, a caution, all right? And boy, we need it. He said, "In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Now, wait a minute. That verse is not divorced from the three ahead of it, okay? That verse is not taken from those three ahead of it. It's not a new subject, not something. He said, listen, I've been telling you about being comforted. I've been telling you about my concern for you. I'm telling you about all the treasures and the wisdom and the knowledge that's hid in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I want to say that with that in mind, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. Enticing words. Now, we think sometimes that enticing words is something new. Men with enticing words. But I want you to take your Bible and I want you to go back to Isaiah chapter 30, would you? Isaiah chapter 30. Where's Isaiah chapter 30, if you will. Look down in verse 10. All right. Well, let's start with verse 9, so we'll have the context and you won't be lost. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesied deceits. Hey, here in that day, they were asking, we don't want to hear anything that's rough. Just give us the smooth stuff, all right? Just give us that stuff that comes from Smiley down in Houston, all right? Don't give us anything rough. Don't preach anything hard to us. Just encourage us. Keep it all positive, all right? And the Lord says about that kind of stuff through the Apostle Paul writing the folks at Colossae, he said, you be careful. You be careful that you don't allow someone to entice you and beguile you, if you will, with enticing words. Beguile you. Listen, when all you're interested in is positive, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get into trouble. And we need to be careful, all right? We need to be careful, and that's what Paul's saying to us, and especially knowing we've got the truth of the Word of God. Now, by the way, I don't want you to think, you know, people are always quick to think, well, you think you're the only one. No. You got your Bible, and you'll read it, and you'll believe it. You've got the truth. You've got the truth. It's when you allow somebody to bend it, twist it, and, do away with a lot of it and try to explain it away, that's when you get in trouble. But when you've got the truth, you be careful, he says, that you don't allow somebody to come along and beguile you. You see, knowing the weakness of man, Satan is always ready to send a false teacher, a false witness with enticing words. With enticing words. Sometimes it comes across like this, man, I've got a new revelation. Well, if it's a revelation, it's not new. If it's a new revelation, it's not from God. And people come across with those kind of things. Hey, those enticing words often come across, if you will, in the form of fair speeches. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. Those fair speeches, you say, what are they for? They're usually intended to obscure the truth. Obscure the truth. Set you down and said, I'm going to give you this speech, you know, and then nowadays the terminology is we're going to put our spin on it, okay? Look, I'm not interested in what your spin is. I hope you're not interested in what my spin is. What I want to know is what does God say? What does the Word of God say? Now, enticing words always sound good. Always sound good. I've used them with the dog many, many times. Here, boy, come here. You know, your dog gets out. I use the illustration of my daughter's dogs. They're real obedient. They were kind of like Sammy, the last dog we had. You could call him all day, but he wouldn't come unless the urge struck him, all right? And so you try to entice him in, right? Here, boy, maybe dangle some little bit of a treat out there, all right? Just trying to get them show up so you can grab them, all right? And then you want to beat them. Maybe you don't, but I did, all right? So, enticing words are kind of that way. They promise much, but they deliver little or nothing. They don't really enlighten you. They have a tendency to confuse, to cover, to conceal the real truth. But boy, it sounds good. Sounds good. I've mentioned to you that there was a comedian known as Professor Irwin Corey. And he only had a very short-lived career, I think. But if you look hard enough, you can find it. But listening to him was an exercise in semantics. I mean, he could talk all day and say nothing. I mean, nothing. But boy, it sounded good. It had a good sound to it, but when you got through, you go, huh? Because he hadn't said anything. Hey, a lot of times that's enticing words. But the key thing is, remember this, those enticing words are always given to pull us away from the truth. When Satan, the serpent, appeared to Eve, enticing words. Why? To pull her away from the truth. Pull her away from the truth. Listen, that hadn't changed. But the only difference is that it's not going to be the serpent that shows up. It may be some of his minions. It may be the Jehovah's false witness. It may be the Mormons. It may be who knows what, all right, on the internet. I mean, they're out of just loads of people that, they've got enticing words, but, hey, the whole object, pull us away from the truth. Pull us away from the truth. You say, well, how do we handle that? How do we handle it? Look at verse 6, would you? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk ye in him. Listen, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We know him. If he saved your soul, then he's in you, and you're in him. And he's given us of the Holy Spirit. We know him. Can I say this to you? Quit trying to find an easier, smoother, or simpler way. Just take his way. Well, I think if we do it this way, quit thinking, just do it the way he says. Just do what he says, all right? Isaiah 30, verse 21 said, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is what, well, I'm looking for a smoother path. No, I'm looking for one that's all downhill, all right? Well, you're going the wrong way, okay? You're going the wrong way. Years ago, I visited Darrell Powell's house. We were both teenagers, young teenagers, and I went to see him, spent the night with him, and we got out on bicycles that next, I think it was Saturday morning, and boy, we were riding along. We got on this big, long hill. It was really fun, super fun. Till I figured out we got to get back up that hill. I didn't have a 10-speed bike or a 15-speed or even a 3-speed. I just had 2-speed. It was the right leg and the left leg, all right? And that was it. I mean, that hill was steep. It was fun going down it, but you can't go downhill all the time, all right? Hey, we need to quit looking for that smoother way. We could just have one that's easier, all right? Just simpler. No, walk ye in him. Walk ye in him. You've therefore received Christ Jesus. Walk in him. Just what do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want me to walk? You say, well, I don't know. Well, that's why he gave you a Bible. We can't plead ignorance because we've got the book, okay? So he says, hey, you're going to be beguiled with enticing words. Don't give in to it. You know the Lord Jesus? Walk in him. But he goes a little further in verse 7. He said, rooted and built up in him, rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you trusted him for salvation. I trusted him to save my soul. You did that. You were planted in him. You were planted in him. That's where our roots are, okay? It's not somewhere else. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were planted in some very fertile soil, all right? John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's where we got planted, all right? That's where we got our roots. We need to be sure that those roots stay there, all right? Don't get uprooted. Don't let that happen. That's the foundation. That's where we are. We're rooted in him. But notice the Bible doesn't say stop with that. It says built up in him. Built up in him. What a picture that is. Not only rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, but, hey, he's our foundation, Our life is built upon and in Him. That's where our life is to be built. I saw the book the guy wrote, said, "All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." Well, I got news for you. All I needed to know I learned in church. And I was rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ and built up in Him. We talk about pointing people to Christ. We talk about pointing people to Christ. And we ought to point people to Christ. Sometimes, though, we just point people to Christ at salvation. But the truth of the matter is, He is our example. We're to follow His example. We're to observe to do what His Word says. Our strength comes from Him, not from us. We talk about getting out and trying to do the work of God. Don't ever do it in your own strength. Oh, I'm trusting Him. My faith is in Him. And I'm looking to Him to give me the strength to do what I need to do. To face whatever comes in life. You're going to get that from Him, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in us. He's in us, all right? Hey, we've not done as 2 Peter verse chapter 1, verse 16 says, we've not followed cunningly devised fables. We're following the Word of God. The Word of God. No other book like it at all. It tells us about Christ. We've been pointed to Him. Now we need to point people to Him all the time. So, well, I'm facing a decision. What am I going to do? Well, check and see what Jesus Christ did. Check to see what He did. How did He handle a like situation, all right? How did He take it? How did He take it when people mocked Him and made fun of Him? How did He handle it? Well, He didn't return it. He didn't do that. Hey, we learned to exercise a little wisdom. Look to Him. Hey, rooted and built up in Him. But notice what the rest of verse 7 says. Established in the faith. Established in the faith. That word established conveys and speaks of stability. Stability. Man, I see so many people in our day that have no stability in their life. Boy, things are just... The song says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." They don't stand on that solid rock. Everywhere they go is like jello, or it is that sinking sand. There's no stability. No stability whatsoever in their life. And every day is a new day with a new approach to life instead of just doing it what God says. Now, we're to be established in the faith. We're to have that stability. Hey, if something is established, it's not in danger of disappearing at any second. It'll be there. It's established. It's established. We talk about a business. Man, that's an established business. It's not hanging on by a thread. A lot of businesses perished and went under on the whole COVID business. Many times it's because they weren't really established. They weren't solid. They weren't stable. Now, maybe if they'd had a little longer, they could have got there, but they weren't, all right? Hey, listen, you established in the faith is when you do that. That's the way you're able to build a marriage that lasts. Established in the faith. All right? Stability. So important. Hey, if it's established, if our life and our whole being is in Him and established in the faith, then it can stand some adversity. We can stand some challenges. We don't, I use the illustration, we don't run home crying, sucking our thumb, okay? Just because we've had a little bit of adversity. Just because a little trouble came our way, we don't go into town and say, "Well, I'm done." You're not established in the faith if that happens, all right? Rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith. But wait a minute, before we quit, it goes just a little bit further. Would you look at the rest of that verse? It says, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hey, we're to be rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, and we're to act like we're having a good time, all right? When it talks like abounding, I cannot see somebody that it was an idea and a picture in my mind of somebody abounding this dragon. Woe is me. Life is terrible. I don't see how I'm going to make it. No? Hey, now the Bible here is talking about more than just existing. More than just going through the motion, all right? More than that. I mean enjoying. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. Being a child of God is not a burden. It is a wonderful blessing. To be saved, to know you're saved, all right? To abound is to get after it, enjoy it while it's happening, okay? Just enjoy it. Enjoy that faith. Hey, if I can resist that beguilement and that enticing words, I'm established in faith, rooted, built up in Him. I'm going to tell you, I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying that life. I'm glad God didn't call us to a life of drudgery. And, you know, where we just go around all the time with a long face. And you know, sharing that burden with everybody. No, man, God's good. We can have that kind of life, all right? I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful to be in Christ. What a blessing it is to enjoy the comfort that comes from knowing and trusting Him. The comfort. Just knowing, trusting Him. I understand today that the OPEC nations were meeting, talking about curtailing production of oil, and just in an effort to raise the prices. And I heard them talking about where somebody in this place in California, the gas is $7 a gallon. That's another reason not to visit California, all right? But Brother Charles was telling us last night that he had seen a place where it was $10 a gallon one time. $10 a gallon, diesel fuel. Mind-boggling. Well, I tell you what, if you want to, you can go to bed tonight and worry about gas prices. If you want to, you can go lay down and say, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to the grocery store tomorrow. Or you can rest secure in knowing there's a God in heaven, the God that saved us, the God that's taking care of us, the God that's in control. He is the God of all comfort. We can rest in Him. If we'll be rooted and grounded and built up in Him and established in the faith, hey, we can go through life abounding, all right? Notice, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. In the midst of His comfort, we're to exert some caution. Be careful. Be careful, there's always going to be somebody coming along, all right? But man, remember this, let us continue in what we've been taught. We've been taught the truth of the Word of God. Stay with it. Stay with it. Never have understood the need to change. I hate change. I don't mean the kind that rattles in your pocket, okay? I just hate change. I go to the optometrist and have to get new glasses and say, well, I want some frames like this. They don't make them anymore. Well, why don't they? You know, I mean, it's always, you change. Hey, man, let's just stick with what works, right? I tell you now, I can't control what they do with glass frames, all right? But I can do something about what I'm going to do about how I live. I can stick with the truth. You don't have to be pulled aside, beguiled with enticing words. No, I'm rooted in Him. I'm going to be built up. Hey, I'm still working on that building project. I want to be built up in Him. I want to be firmly established in the faith. But I'm not going to be drawn aside by those enticing words. multitudes. Boy, it breaks my heart. Multitudes of fundamental Baptists have bought into the theory that if you join the convention, you can build a church. It'll be easier. Be easier to build a church. Hey, listen. Listen, we need to be careful about being beguiled with enticing words. Hey, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, it'll be easier for you to raise your kids right. No, it's not. It's never easy to raise your kids to do right. It's always a full-time job, 24 hours a day, long as they're around, and you got a job, all right? Not an easy way. So what's the easy way to do it? Well, the only easy way to do it is you keep them in church, you stay in church, and you keep them in the Word of God, and you stay in the Word of God. You listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, heed what is done, stick with it, what you've been taught, all right? Hey, we could apply that to your marriage, work for your marriage. It'll work just over and over, many, many ways. Hey, grounded, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith. Now, don't be beguiled with enticing words. Stick with the truth. Stick with the truth. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, help us stick with the truth of the Word of God, to stay with it, that we would not be pulled aside from that truth. And Lord, we'd know what it was to be comforted by you and know that you're in control and you can take care of us. It's our job to stay in your will, your way. And Lord, you can provide for us. Help us to do that. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, listen.